Okay, let's start from Perek Chof Ches Pasuk Dalet. Iyov is speaking. He is our speaker in Perek, our presenter in Perek Chof Ches. He is describing, according to the Mesudas, he is continuing to advise his listeners that although it may be, in his mistaken belief, there's no such thing as Hashgacha Pratis, that does not mean a person should choose a life of Resha, of wickedness. A person should still choose a life of tzedek, of righteousness, because even if you choose a life of resha, there's no guarantee you're going to have a good life. No one has any guarantees in this world. The only thing you're guaranteed is olam haba if you are a tzaddik, and you're guaranteed gehenim if you're a rasha. So there's not kedai, even if there is no hashkacha pratis in this world, it's not kedai to live a life of resha. And he gives examples. He goes on a long discussion where he describes that the only thing worth pursuing in this world is wisdom. Wisdom, again, of course, which is synonymous with Yirat Shamayim. We're not referring to just wisdom. The sciences of nature, referring specifically to the wisdom of Torah, because that will grant you, that will give you, get you a ticket into Olam Haba. And his idea is that every form of pleasure, every form of material benefit in this world is limited. And being that it's limited, once it runs its course and it comes to an end, it's as if it never existed. But chokhma, but wisdom, yirat shamayim, is infinite. It's unlimited. And thus, whatever you take from it, you'll be with you forever. In the ilam hanitzri, ilam haba, it will be in your possession. And he enumerates many examples of things in this world which are considered valuable, but yet are limited. We mentioned about gold, four different types of metal, gold, silver, barzel, iron, and copper. These are commodities in this world. The more you have of these things, the better off you are. Yet, they're limited because they come from the physical world. They come from a mine. They come from the earth. They come from stone. And when these things, anything in this world itself is physical, it's limited, these things are limited as well. Then he describes even darkness, things which are even darkness. We know darkness is a creation. It's not just the absence of light. Even that is limited. So he means to say, it's just like, he goes off on a tangent, that just like the good things in this world are limited, the bad things in this world are likewise limited. And then he describes the Pasuk Dalet, where we were up to, we were discussing the mountains. Paratz nachal mi'imgar, Pasuk Dalet, Perek Chof Ches Pasuk Dalet, Paratz nachal mi'imgar. Now he describes civilization. He describes a metropolis. A civilization requires water. The most important thing that a country needs is water. If there is no water, you can't live. So you have a city, and the city was established along a river, along a stream, and that gave the city the source, the nourishment, the things that it needed to survive. But one day it happens, the Nachal decides it's no longer going to travel down through a specific location. It's going to change course. When it changes course, the area that previously was well watered now dries up. And the people that used to live there have to pick themselves up and move. They have to move to a different location. Then, 100 years later, people will pass this place, which once upon a time was established, was inhabited by hundreds of thousands of people. It was a thriving community. Now it turns into a wasteland where there is no zecher that a person ever lived in this location. And that is a mashal for all the good things that this world has to offer. Today, they're here. Tomorrow, they are gone. So why bother? Why bother trying to accumulate possessions from Olam Hazeh when it's not going to last. It's not going to be around very long. Paratz Nachal Me'imgar. A Nachal, a stream, a river that used to pass a certain location, now Paratz breaks forth. It changes course. Me'imgar, from the previous place from which it would flow. Gar here means to flow. And Paratz means to break forth. Nachal is the river. Hanishkachim Mine Regel. And now it's forgotten. Now that it has changed course, the old course, you have to add that into the pasuk, the old previous course is forgotten, mine rogel, from mankind, from the foot. No one travels where it used to pass. Dalu, Dalu means it's uprooted. It ceases to exist. Dalu has been uprooted. And Dalu refers back to the stream. The stream has been uprooted. And thus, may enosh nohu, from mankind it has moved. It has distanced itself. Let's look at the Mitzvah's Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalid Paratz Nachal Hine Pe'am times. There are no guarantees in this world. Pamim Yifratz HaNachal Gidro. The Nachal, the stream, it breaks forth its boundary. Lintoitz Mim HaMokam Eshohoyu Nogar V'Nishbach. It changes course from the location from where in the past it would flow and pour. HaNishkochim Asher Nishkochim Hema Me'ata. Now, you got to add that word me'ato into the pasuk to make sense out of the pasuk. Now that the stream has changed course, it's forgotten min raglehu anashim, asher hayu in the past regilim l'shoyv mimeimav, that in the past were drawn from its waters, kimi'ata, now that the stream no longer passes in this location, lo yelchu od el ha'mokam ahu, ki hamayim dalu, because the water, the river, has been dug and uprooted, v'hormu me'anoshav, v'nohu l'leches mehem, these different words which mean the same thing, it's been uprooted, has been lifted up, the no lechem and has moved from where it used to travel. Ubohu imkein hamayim hoheim atachlisam, and the water thus has come to an end. Ki nevdu min hamokam ahu, it no longer exists in this location. Ki Rashi pasuk dal parts nachal. Rashi may have a drash. Rashi has a medrash al sidom v'amora. Rashi, a whole different interpretation. We're referring here to the wicked. We're referring here to wicked people. Wicked people ultimately will be destroyed. At least sometimes. There's no guarantee that pursuing a life of Resha will lead to success, because sometimes Hashem decides to destroy the wicked. For example, Stom Vamora. Stom Vamora were wicked people, and what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he broke forth, he breached a stream of Gofris V'esh, Paratz Nachal, Al Sedom V'Amora. Hashem opened up upon the wicked people of Stom Vamora, Nachale streams Esh V'Gofris, fire and sulfur. Me'imgar, Mimakam Shuhu Novea Vinogar, where did these streams come from? They came from plates in the ground, fiery plates in the ground were opened up, volcanoes were opened up against them to destroy them. Hanishkacha Mine Regel, Eila, here's fasting. Now who, upon whom? Upon this, the famous verse we all learn in third grade, or maybe first grade. Hanishkacha Mine Regel, that it's now this nachal of Gophers for Asia, it's going to be poured upon the people, upon which people? The people of Stom and Amora. It was a location which forgot, it was forgotten from this location, the inyan, the concept of hachnosas orchim. People no longer would dare step foot in this village unless you own a property. You would never come as a guest. Guests are not welcome. When you come to Brooklyn, what does it say? It's a beautiful place.
Forget about it.
It's a great place to visit to Brooklyn.
What?
When you go from Brooklyn to Queens, it's a sign, forget about it.
Okay, when you go from Manhattan to Brooklyn, what does it say?
Welcome to Brooklyn.
It's a beautiful place. Didn't these be just a sign like that?
Yeah.
A beautiful place. Wait, what does it say? What's the nusach? Anyone here have the bikis? Where's our Google expert here? He's not here today. There's a sign that says it's a nice
place to visit.
It says something about living and visiting. When you come to Sodom, it says, don't you dare. Don't even think of visiting. Don't even think of visiting. Why? Hanishkacha min regal, Eilu anshei Sodom, Sheshikhu teras ragle orchim me'artzim. It was forgotten from them the concept of the legs, the feet of guests from visiting. Why? Now, it seems like he's playing on the word regal. Shahayu mashkivim ha'orech b'mita. This is a very bizarre medrash, what this means exactly. It's obviously, it doesn't say Rashi. It doesn't say where it's from, this Rashi. Pshtam Bereshis Rabbah, I imagine there in Parashas Lech Lecha, Shahayu mashkivim ha'orech b'mita, they would put a guest on the bed. If the person's legs, imhoyo oruch yoser, if the legs were too big for the bed, they would cut the legs. Yoser mekat in raglov, they would cut the person's legs. Imhoyo kotzar, if the person was too short for the bed, they would stretch his legs. Marichin oiso kach mufurish bagada. Obviously, this does not to be taken literally. It's a mashal. It's a mashal that It's a marshal that chesed is done on our terms. We have defined chesed. Every person, we know today, every person has different needs. Every person is sensitive to certain things. For some people, there's one approach, and for someone else, another approach. Everything in Sodom, the chesed, you see, it doesn't mean that the chesed in Sodom was no chesed. They couldn't get away with that. In the world, let's say we live in a modern world today, you have certain standards. There has to be affirmative action, right? Everyone has to have an equal opportunity, but equal opportunity is defined as corrupt. It's based on our terms. We have established what is chesed, and even though the chesed does not work well for you, too bad. Now that's not chesed. Chesed by nature has to be customized for the person. The form of chesed in Sodom was one shoe fits all. That's even worse than not doing chesed at all, to some degree. And that's really what it means, is that the bed is a one size fits all. If the bed doesn't fit, then you're just not eligible. You're not eligible for chesed, for it to be a recipient of our kindness.
I find it interesting. There's a Greek mythology, there's the exact same story. Called the Bed of Procrustes, if you can Google to find out. And it's one of those, and there are more than one of these, that appear in others' mythology and also in the Medrash. So it's an interesting question, which came first?
The Medrash or the Hag of Sodom?
It's an open question. No stuff.
Okay. Dalu, next word's of Rashi. Dalu, Ali de Pritzas Nachal Zem Ume Enosh Nohu. Through the breach, this Nachal, the Nachal of Gophris for Esh, Nachal Zem Ume Enosh Nohu, they were uprooted from civilization. Sodom was destroyed. So according to Rashi, Rashi is learning not at all like the Mitzudos. Rashi reads the Pasuk. We'll go back to the Pasuk again. Paratz Nachal Me'im Gor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up a stream of gophris for Esh from its natural source and destroyed. You have to add the words into the pasuk. This stream of gophris for Esh was poured down upon an evil civilization, namely Sodom. What was the nature of their evil? Hanishkochim minei rogel. They were people who brought about the concept that there's no such thing as chesed. Chesed did not exist in this civilization because of their cruel approach to how chesed would be administered, and thus dalu, this civilization was uprooted. Me'enosh nohu, they stepped off the stage, the world stage of mankind. They no longer ceased to exist. So pasuk here says, according to Rashi, it's not kedai to be a rasha. Re'ev is giving, is warning his friends, even though there may not be hashkacha pratis, you have to still understand this. Even though there's no hashkacha pratis, that there are times when a Kadosh Baruch Hu decides to destroy the wicked. So there are no guarantees in this world. You might as well seek olam haba be a tzaddik. Pasuk hey, he gives many more examples. We'll try to go fast. Eretz mimena yetze lochem v'sachtecha nepach kimoesh. It was a land, referring, let's say, if you want to learn according to Sodom, according to Mitzvah, just referring to general, idea that wicked people who once upon a time lived in a land, that from that land went forth bread. Lechem is a synonym for life. Kiloy al halechem levado yichyeh ha'adam. It was a land that was a source of life. Life went forth. V'sachtecha. Sachtecha means its place. This location now, Nepach, has been transformed, kimoach, into a place of fire. It's been completely destroyed. Pasuk hey in the Mitzudos. Eretz hinei, Eretz shemena. It used to be a land that was fat. Asher yetzim imen lechem. Rav, an abundance of bread. Bevo es. However, when its end comes, Nepach Mekoima, its place is transformed, Vitiya Yevesha, it's dry, Kemo Serufa Ba'esh, as if it's been burnt in fire. Rashi, Pasuk Hei, Eretz Asher Meni Yitzel Lechem, Nepach Mekoima, Kemo Esh, same thing as the Mesudas, it's been transformed, it's been completely burnt. Pasuk Vav, Mekoim Sapir Avonech, the place that in the past was a place of sapphire stones. The Afro is Zohav Lo, the dust was gold. From the dust they would mine gold. Now, Pasuk Zayin, now how this beautiful city that was a source of commodities, Nosiv Lo Yida'o Oyet, has now turned into a path, a ghost town, a road that even the Oyet is a vulture. Even the vultures like to go into ghost towns. They can find food, they can find things to eat, but it's so desolate. Ad kedei kach that even the Oyet does not travel down that path. Velo shizofatu means to see, to gaze. Ein ayo is another type of bird which has very good eyesight, can see to the very great distance. So if there's anything there to be seen, the ayo would know about it and would come there to enjoy anything that can be found. But it's completely obliterated. It's obliterated to the point where even the ayo does not bother to look at it. Pasik vavin zayin and mitzudos. The place that in the past the stones were sapirim, sapphire, the most expensive stones. This was the place from the dust, the afer. It was used from this afer, they would mine gold. Now has turned the pasuk zayin to a nesiv bevoata. Now when its end has come, it's desolate. Even the ayit does not know from it. These two creatures do not visit this location due to its intense destruction. This is an exaggeration, hyperbole, to describe the intense destruction of this location. When you see this, just point out that ayot, he says that this is an oaf. Ayot is a vulture, shem oaf, midbari. It's a wild bird, v'chein ayah. Rashi says different. Rashi pasuk vav says, "Mekoyim sapir hoyu avonech zayin lo yido ayit leov alein chayil shalistin." So an ayot, a new translation, means a band of robbers. So it seems that gangs don't have to pay rent. They don't want to pay rent. So where do they hang out? In ghost towns. You live in a city, you can't. The police will come. They'll rout you out. So where do the chayil of listim hang out? In ghost towns. But this city that once was a beautiful city, a source of sapir and zahav, is destroyed, is desolate to the point where even the listim do not wish to live there rent free. No squatters. Velo shizofatu ayin ro ayin ayo. So here he agrees. Here Rashi says sitting as the mitzudos lufishayi roya yoyse mishayfas. The ayo is a bird which has excellent vision. Lufishayi roya yoyse mishayfas. So the kachnik roa in chumash it's called the roa. Okay, they have two places in the Torah. You have the birds in Parshas Shemini and in Parshas Re'eh. These two parshios, they are the list of the non-kosher birds, and among the non-kosher birds, there are some discrepancies. And Chazal have explained that the bird that in one parsha is called the ayah is the ro'ah that appears in the other parsha. So there are two words the Torah uses to describe. And why is it called the ro'ah? Because lashon of ro'iyah, it has excellent vision, and despite its excellent vision, if there would be something good there to enjoy, some good quality, the ayah would definitely be worth its while to visit this location to enjoy from whatever it can find. The fact that even the ra does not attend is an indication that it's completely obliterated. There are no signs of life. It's what's called ra. Ra is in Bavel. The roi in neveilos be eretz Yisrael. It sees. It stands in Bavel. The devil is in the Gemara to show. Kach mafurish beagados kolaymar loy chafru miraglim. It's not a place where that the miraglim will spy. It's so empty, it's so desolate, even spies don't scan out the land. It's not kedai to send in a drone to do some reconnaissance to see if there's anything available there. Now this also, by the way, everyone knows this is a very big muslim, this is the ra'ah. People who live in America, they say this about, if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, don't criticize Eretz Yisrael. And anyone that lives does not live in Eretz Yisrael and starts dictating policy, the Bali Musa say, you're like the Ra'ah, you're shaving Bavel, the Roy in the Vela is the Eretz Yisrael. And you see all the problems. This one is no good, that's no good. Who are you to talk? You know what goes on there. You know what goes on, Eric, to show you live there, you understand, you relate to the people, the culture. So if you roy and then you have the status of the ra'ah, it's a bad nida, and this bird is the mashal that's used to describe people who backseat drivers. And the same thing is true to a certain degree the other way around. People in Eretz Yisrael, whenever they start dictating policy, what should be in America, it's not a good idea. It's a different culture. Different culture. You have to know your people. You got to know your land. You have to know the situation on the ground before you can start giving advice and telling people what to do. Okay, let's go further. Lo hidrichu, okay, Pasuk Ches describes more detail the degree of desolation. Pasuk Ches, lo hidrichu of b'nei shachatz. It has not been tread upon shachatz. Shachatz are wild, ferocious animals, which only frequent places of desolation. Velo odo. Odo means to pass. Vayavar Avram ba'aretz. Avram passed through the land. Olav shochal. Shochal are lions. We have two creatures, a shochatz and a shochal. I think Rashi indeed says that these two were two different types of lions, or two different stages in the development of a lion. Look at Rashi first. Pasuches lo odo ovar. It does not pass through the land. Kid mitargamina sher ovar ben habasarim. By the bris ben habasarim, it says that the word ovar, to pass, the fire pass between the two parts, and the targum there says it means odo. Okay, tzoch lamar hagzorim ba'ayin b'targum de odo. Okay, shachatz v'shachal, these are two different lions. Mishiva shemo sa'ar yehem. There are seven different stages in the development of a lion, and the word shachatz and ashachal are two of them. Shisha shemo siyesh la'ar yeh v'kadosh baruch hu me'osa. It's referring to a gemara, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that has six names, and Hashem called it a seventh name. Okay, but what?
Is that a unanimous opinion that means it refers to a lion?
No, it's not. Look at the Mitzudos, in fact. If you look in the Mitzudos, Pasuk Ches, the Mitzudos Tzion, Shachatz, Inyin Gaiva, arrogance, V'chein Molech al Kol B'nei Shachatz, Uvid Rabbasin Zog Levroch, Anshe Yishlam, Anshe Shachatzein, Odo, okay, Ovar, okay, so he doesn't, I thought he explained, doesn't look like, okay, I saw in the translation, I looked from Mitzudas David, maybe there he says, Mitzudas David, in Pasuk Ches, the desolation is complete, lo hidrichu, lo yavru derech bo b'nei gaiva, heim piritzei hachayos. These are wild animals. He does not explicitly that it refers to a lion. It just refers to two ferocious animals, piritzei hachayos, af le'ovar lov shachal legodel hashemamon. So he doesn't say definitively that it refers to a lion. Rashi focuses on the Gemara that these are two words of the seven stages of a lion. The meaning of the pasuk is the same. The desolation is complete to the point where you do not have any wildlife. When today, I know, and I remember reading a book about an Eretz Yisrael when they wanted to develop a certain section of land 50, 60 years ago, and they came to Eretz Yisrael when they were first building all these new communities. So land was very cheap, right? You can buy a big piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. So they went with experts to make sure that the land is not dangerous, that there's no. It's suitable for development. And I remember there was one particular land, they went down with a big scientist, and the scientist told them not to develop a community here, because the reason was there's no wildlife. They couldn't find even one bird. There were no birds in the neighborhood. They were flying. And if there are no birds, like wild birds, that means there must be something wrong with this piece of land, because it's a healthy piece of land, all breeds wildlife. And if there's no wildlife, there's something wrong with the environment, and it's not a good idea for people to attempt to settle such land. What? Okay, let's go to the next. Pasuk Tes, Bachalamish. Here he continues. He continues to describe the utter destruction. Bachalomish. Chalomish is a stone. Here it's been used to refer to massive mountains, massive stones, bedrock. B'chalomish sholach yado, Hashem at the end of days will send forth His hand against the chalomish, against bedrock, against the earth, the massive mountains or stones. Chofach mishoresh harim, He will uproot, He will overturn from their root, from their source, mountains. It's describing that the day will come when the world as we know it will come to an end. The physical world will come to an end. We would never imagine. The chalomish is a stone. It represents the strongest, most powerful stones. Can it really be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause these stones to melt? Will cause these stones to be overturned? Will HaKadosh Baruch Hu cause the mountains, these massive mountains, to be uprooted from their roots, from the Shirashim? Yes, it will. Everything physical is limited. Everything physical will come to an end at some point in time. The Mesudas of Pasuk Tes says, Bachalomish, Bevoketz Haslam Hachazakim Hagadilim Behodim. When the time comes, when the end time, when the end of days come, when the mighty mount rocks in the mountains, Oz then, when their time comes, Oz Yishlach Hamokoim Esyodei Bohem, Hashem will send forth His hand against them. Umahapich es saharim, and likewise Hashem will overturn the mountains. Min hashoresh, from their root, b'sibois haruach haniska bebetan, through haretz, through winds that are hidden within the belly of the earth. Now, what does that mean? Earthquakes, maybe
volcanoes.
Some volcanoes, maybe whatever this means. There's some type of ruach that is collected in the beten. The earth will burp. The earth will bring forth a wind, and it will cause the rocks and the mountains to be uprooted. Rashi.
Yeah, excuse me, can we have any idea why a college
wants
to do that?
Yes. Because that's what he says. I don't know the answer. The world is physical. Anything physical has a biological clock. That's the theme of this parak. Anything gashmi, no matter what it is, whether it's science, whether it's the earth, has a biological clock and will one day come to an end. And he gives different mishalim. Gold and silver are limited.
The whole planet Earth,
it's physical.
Whatever
it means. But it says here, the time will come when the world will come to an end. Therefore, when a person pursues Gashmias, he is pursuing something which is temporary. You're wasting your time, even if you accumulate all the wealth in the world, but it's going to come to an end. So why invest in something which has no future? Better invest, which he's going to say at the end of the parak, invest in chokhmah, in wisdom, in the knowledge of Hashem. Because the knowledge of Hashem is infinite, has no beginning, has no end, and that is something which you'll take with you to Olam Haba. That's the theme that he's presenting. Let's look at Rashi Pasuk Tes. Bachalomish shalach yado, v'hofach shiroshei haharim milamal lamata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send forth His hands into the chalomish, into the strong stones. Okay, the chalomish is a stone. Look at the mitzudos tzion. Bachalomish, b'tzur chozok. All he translates is strong rock. Olefish lo yipo loshen chalomish. The word chalomish, ela al hatzur. Since the word chalomish only refers to a rock, Omar chalomish mibli zeche, without the word zeche tzur, without the prefix of tzur, right? Well, we have tzur hachalomish. What do we say to him? We say in davening. So we mentioned, but we generally mention the two words together. Tzur hachalomish. Tzur. So here he says, why is the word? Now tzur means a rock. Why is, we call a flintstone, why is the tzur missing in this pasuk? It's obvious because it's not necessary. That tzir v'iv is being makatzer. It's self until referring to the chalomish, the tzur chalomish which is going to be destroyed in the end of days. Okay, again, the Rashi. So Rashi says Rashi shachalomish hafavach shorosha harim melamat lamata. The shorosh will also destroy the mountains. The mountains will come tumbling down. Pasuk yud batzuros yoirim bikeya. Now this is scary. He's saying that the rocks will be from the rocks yoirim. There's going to be a flood. The world is going to go back to a state of covered from sea to shining sea with water. There's not going to be any land mass, just like we have a tradition. That's the way it was by Maisa Bereishis. By Maisa Bereishis, the entire planet Earth was just a ball of water. was a bowl of water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a decree, Yikavu Hamayim Mitachas Lepi El Mokom Echad V'Seireh Hayabasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed the water should be gathered into one place and the earth shall appear. And Chazal tell us that it's a nes. Al Pi Derech HaTeva, the waters have a desire, have a Yetzahar, have an urge to flood land, and it's only because the Kadosh Baruch Hu have told them not to do so, they hold back. But it's their natural tendency, it's their nature to flood the earth. The world should be covered by water. The day will come when this will happen. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will lift the restraint, will open the dam, and will allow the waters to flow as they would feel, as is natural. And that's what the pasuk says. Batsuros, in the mountains, Yoirim Bikea, the rivers will break forth. Bikeh means to burst forth. There will be streams breaking forth from beneath the ground, and the world will be covered by water. V'chol yikar ra'asa eino, and every precious commodity on this earth, ra'asa eino HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw. We'll see what this means in a moment in the Mesuzah and Rashi. He saw from the beginning of time that its end would come.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also physical.
What?
Mind is not physical.
Water, it's a good point. So water also should be come to an end. Okay, in the next pasuk he seems to say that water also will come to an end. There are different types of water. There are the lower waters, and there is another type of water which is more destructive. Okay, it's very mystical. You're right, but you make a good point. We'll keep that in mind for one moment until we come to the next pasuk. But let's first focus on the end of land. Land will be destroyed. Ra'ah mitzudas pasuk yud. Yes, well, not a mile from Shemayim, but from the mile from beneath. The Tohoim Rabba. Let's look at the Mitzudos. Bokea, Mitzuas Yarim, Hainu. Nechase Hahar, Shehoya Mevutzar, Al Hayarim. It will cover the mountains, which was protected. I'm sorry. Reading from the, I read from the Mal by mistake. I'm sorry. Pasuk Yud in the Mitzudos, Mitzuros. Bevo Sof Hatsudim. The day will come when the rocks, the stone, will come to an end. Bika Bimukaimam. How will their end come? They'll come. There'll be cracks. Bimukaimam Yoirim rivers. Ad ki yichasu hatsurim. The rocks, landmass, will be covered by the water which spews forth from these rivers. The Chol Yikar. Every precious thing in this world, kol hadvarim hayikarim asher ba'olam hine ein hamakom ra'asa mehechon yatzu u'masai yichlu. Every this like the he's coming, he's winding down now. Every precious thing that we value in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the beginning of creation saw its beginning and its end. It's been seen, it's been encompassed by Hashem's eye. What he means to say is, Im ki anachnu lo neda hakol, although we do not know, for us everything seems that we're going to be here forever. The world's going to go on forever. We're going to enjoy all the benefits. Aval yidum him lamokum, it's known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the world will come to an end. Rashi, Pasuk Yud, Bitzuro, Siorim, Bikea, This pasuk is going back to the beginning of the parak where he says that every single thing has a source, and anything which has a source has an end. And in the rocks, in the rocks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cracked open the source of the rivers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the rocks, Hashem opened up cracks to bring forth Lemotzi Hayarim, to bring forth the rivers.
Well, that's the promise that Hashem made to Noah.
That's only for the duration of the world as we know it. Hashem is not going to bring a marble to the world. Let's say the 6,000 years. The world as we know it, Hashem is not going to destroy. But once the world runs its course, then the world will come to an end. The chay next was a rash called Yikar Rasa. Einoy mehechon yatsa libriyos. Hashem, where Hashem saw everything is source. Kamosh asa liyishol hach sela viyozov. Maybe we're referring to a medrash over here. Kol Shbaruch Hu, that even the water which came forth from the Moshe Rabbeinu, he hit a rock. These psukim over here, when it says here that from a rock, Yoirim Bikea, So obviously this is related, at least according to the Medrash, to Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock and bringing water for Klal Yisrael in the desert. Even that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was aware of at the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis that there would be such a thing. Kepasuk Yud Aleph. Mibichi Neharos Chibesh. Now, V'saluma Yotzi'ar. This pasuk is describing, according to the Mitzudos, the destruction of water. The water that we have in this world, the rivers, the oceans, we understand, we can relate to. We have figured out every river, where it comes from, the water cycle, the mountains, the snow, the ice, how it melts, it goes down the mountain, turns into a river. There are streams, dries up during parts of the year. We understand the water cycle. We understand how and why water flows. But there's going to come a time when the depth of the waters, as which we understand, the word mibichi, according to the simple interpretation, means the depth. Okay, it doesn't mean to cry, and it doesn't mean that we'll see some midrashim in a moment, but it means the depths of the rivers. Chibesh Hashem will hide. How will Hashem hide it? By bringing upon it another layer of water. Maybe it means water from the Mayim Elyonim, which will completely cover the lower levels of water. In other words, even the water system will come to an end. The previous pasuk we mentioned that the land will come to an end when the waters cover the land. But now even those waters that are covering the land, they will also cease to exist because they will be covered by another type of a layer of water. Okay, we'll see them in a few moments. V'saluma yotzi'ar, and things which are hidden will come to light. And what does that mean? Let's look at the Mitzvah Pasuk Yud Aleph. Mibichi Neharos. Now the word Mibichi, let's just first jump to the Mitzvah Tzion. It means Omek Hamayim. Okay, Mibichi means the depth. The depth of the water. V'chei Nivchei Yom, a Pasuk later on, the depths of the sea. Now how does that translate to the Pasuk Yud Aleph? Bevo Tachlis HaNeharos, when the end of the rivers come. When their time also comes to an end, Yiskar refers to the word Chibesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will close up, V'chole, and will bring an end to the Oimek Mehem, to the depths of their waters. Lebal, so that Yihiyu Noivim, they will no longer flow, Moshrim, two words, same thing. Kimeoz, like in time immemorial. Uvavokate, so Aretz Hayabasha. And then the second part of the pasuk means when dry land ceases to exist, Oz then, Yotze Lo'or, will come to light. What does this mean? Hamayon, a fountain. Hanela, Me'ein Ha'adam. A certain fountain which we're not aware of, that's deep, deep down in the world. The year be meimav, it will increase its waters. Ad ki yichase pnei huadama, until it covers the face of the earth. Ucha olme, what is those two parts of the pasuk? What do they mean to say in more depth? Hoil, since the yeshkes v'tachlis chol hadvarim hagufniim, since there is going to be an end to everything which is physical. Lo yichashu imkein hatzlachasa mu'uma, success in physical matters, in gashmis, in material gain, is worthless because everything material will ultimately come to an end at some point in time. So let's now go back to the pasuk. Back to the pasuk says, "Mibuchin haros." Mibuchin haros means the water system, the deep waters. The water system, the way we know it today, is very complex, and the water flows very deep down in the earth. There are channels of water that flow underneath the ground, and these things are necessary for everything to function properly. But all of that, the depth of the Neharos, what's going to happen? Chibesh, Hashem will close up. It will be sealed. It will cease to function. Why will it cease to function? It will be destroyed. How will it be destroyed? Either through some type of earthquake down underground, or maybe it will be covered by water. Furthermore, the pasuk concludes, V'saluma. V'salo sula means a deep mayon. Okay, saluma means something that is hidden. Ilum. Aleph Lamed Mem, the Sherish of Aleph Lamed Mem, which the Sherish of the word Bisaluma means something that's Nelam, something that's hidden. What here is hidden? The Mitsudo says a fountain. There is some type of mysterious fountain that's deep down in the earth which we are not aware of. Yoitzior will produce light. Now it doesn't here literally mean light, it will come to light. Coming to light means it will open up and will flood the land, will flood the earth. So according to the Mitzudos, the Pasuk in the beginning refers to the end of the water system as we know it, and the second part of the Pasuk refers to the end of the earth as we know it, due to it being concealed by some type of mysterious mayon.
It follows the previous Pasuk. We said all the earth will become ruined, nothing, right?
Previous pasuk, Mitzuros, the pasuk, the rocks don't exist.
Then the rocks disappear, then you only have water. Until now, the water that was hidden, the water levels, the water depths are all
controlled by the rocks.
Okay. Controlled, so they're all over. But the water with nothing else is worthless, because, you know, what are you going to do just with water?
It's not organized. It doesn't flow in the proper means. There's no.
It can be as powerful as it is, but with water, nothing.
It's a systematic breakdown. Yeah. Everything is going to, the whole world's going to crumble. Let's look at the Mitzudos Pasuk Gidal from the Mitzudos Mibichino Haros Chibesh. Okay. Now the Rashi is going off on some midrashim. Okay, some of these midrashim we are familiar with. Rashi, again, the Mitzudos translated the word mibichi to mean the depths of the rivers. Deep, deep down in the world, there are rivers that are flowing underground. These deep underground rivers, chibesh, they're going to be concealed, they're going to be closed up, they will cease to function. That's not how Rashi translates the word mibichi. He translates it from the word of crying. When did the waters cry? They cried at the time of Maaseh Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided the Mayim Elyonim from the Mayim Tachtonim. The Mayim Tachtonim cried. Why did they cry? They wanted to be close to the Shechina. Hashem said, don't cry, I will pacify you, I will tell Klal Yisrael to offer on the Mizbeach salt and Nisach HaMayim, and you'll come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mayim was pleased, it was satisfied, and it stopped crying. So Rashi here is picking up upon that point in time of Maaseh Bereishis, Mibichin Horos HaChibesh, Bibriyah So'olam, Kishabochu Mayim HaTachtoinim, Bichi, tears, Kamo Nivke Yam. At that point in time, chibesh, kamo vayachbosh es chamaro, means to saddle, kach shamati. So what does it mean over here? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put an end to the crying of mibichinu haros chibesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put an end to the crying of the rivers. How will Hashem put an end to the crying of the rivers? By no longer bringing a separation between the mayim elyonim, mayim tachtonim. The mayim that will be connected, the mayim tachtonim will once again be joined with the mayim elyonim. How will that happen? That will happen by flooding the world. When the world will be restored to a state of nothingness like it was before Maaseh Bereishis, when there was no separation between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim, the world couldn't exist. The only way the world was able to exist was by separating, by making a division between the two. Now the Pasuk says Hashem is going to chibesh means to put an end, will take away their tears. The way Hashem will take away their tears is by joining them together once again, but that will cause the world to be destroyed. Kach shamati. That's one of the Surah Macherim, Bibichi, Bibne Bichiosen Shel Yisrael, Shayuboychen Lemor Manishte, Chibesh Vitikin, Vivisikin Lohem, the Hore Mayim in Asela, Vayachbesh Lohem. According to this interpretation, it's referring to the Maisa when they complain to Moshe Rabbein that we don't have what to drink, and the word Chibesh means Tikin, Hashem established. And here it means mibichi, means due to the crying of Klal Yisrael. When they were in the desert, they went in Morah for 3, they had no water. They cried to Hashem, the waters are bitter, we don't have what to drink. They cried, mibichi no haros, chibesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misaking. He created, he fixed, he established for Klal Yisrael water. So the, according to this medrash, it's not really part of the pshat and the pasuk. It's nothing to do with what Eve is discussing. That's according to the Mesilas, maybe according to Rashi's interpretation. But according to his interpretation, it's just a play, it's just a reference point to focus on what happened in the time of the desert when they cried to Hashem. Hashem established for them water from the rock. V'saluma yotzi ar. What does this mean? From the Saluma, Hashem brought forth Ar. The word Saluma, according to the Medrash, is the name of a window. Right, Windows version 8. Or you have a... whatever it is. It's the name of an operating system. Chaloin Yesh Berakia. There is a window in heaven, Ushmo, its name is Taluma. Misham, from this window, is where, told us Hashemesh Lit Kufaso, is where the sun goes forth. The sun develops. Who does it say this? It says in the Medrash, Bepirkei de Rabbi Elazar, Kilema, what's the deeper meaning of this pasuk? L'chol davar yesh motza. According to this interpretation, we're going back to the original concept that everything in this world has a physical source. Everything physical has a source. The sun is also physical. So where is the sun's source? The sun's source, Kilema, l'chol davar yesh motza, v'soif, has a source and an end. Rak l'chachma loy motza la. Only a chachma does not have a source. Elam yipir from HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'lo yisof elamis. So the pasuk here means this saluma. From the saluma, from the window called saluma, is where yotzi or is where the sun goes forth. So everything here, this is a pshat. Everything here referring to their source, and it's telling us that the sun's source comes from the window called the saluma.
Someone also disappears.
Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. Everything physical is going to disappear. Now we finally come to the message. The theme.
Talumas nefesh toshia.
So what does it mean over there? The secrets of the nefesh toshia Hashem will save. Okay, how does it?
Very, also very interesting. First, it's talking about the elements.
Gold, yeah.
Silver.
Okay.
Rock. Then he's down to water, which is only hydrogen and oxygen.
And then he goes to light.
The sun, which is only
which is even less. So he's going even lesser and lesser. Okay,
all
he's going.
Disappear.
Everything's going to disappear. Everything has a source, and everything will ultimately come to an end. Now we finally come to the point of this entire parak, and that is, what is not physical. Here is the point. V'hachochma me'ayin timotzei. From where, a rhetorical question, where will you find wisdom? Where is the, let's learn simple, where is the source? There is no source. It's not physical, it's infinite, it's spiritual. And it has no source. And he repeats himself, the A Zem Mekoim Bina, where is the source, the Mekoim of understanding? Two different things which mean pretty much the same thing. And therefore, a person should pursue Chochma and Bina. Pasuk Yibayz in the Mitzudos. Via Chochma, Aval, Hatzlochas haChochma, the success in the knowledge of Hashem, lo kein hu, it's not like anything physical, it will never come to an end. Ki me'eze mokum hinimtzeis. Question mark. Where are you going to find it? Where are you going to find its source? You're going to quarry in the earth? Haloi ein lo mekoim gufni. It does not have a physical source. Uhamoitzi osa, which produced it. Ad shenachshav kashayich lehadavar. So that we should think that when the source comes to an end, ha'hu tichla gam haChochma, the Chochma will come to an end. It's not so. There is no physical source. Source, Mimela, there is no end. The Eze, A, Aye, Ze, Hamokam, Hamotzi, Habina, where is the place where Bina understands and understanding comes from? The Kofla Davar, Bimila is Shinas. Lo Yoda, it's not known. Ulze, that's Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, now let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vachachma, Chachma, he says here, Rashi says very clearly referring to HaTorah. It's not just science. We're now referring to the science, referring specifically to the Chochma of Torah, because the Chochma of science seemingly is related to, and I have to, this is really true, I'm not, you have to really know if what I'm saying is correct. Rashi just points out Chochma refers to Torah, not just the other sciences. The Chochma of Torah is certainly infinite. Now, there's a famous medrash.
What? Taryag mitzvah related to mankind. It's no mankind, but the purpose of Taryag.
Well, that's what the Malachim. That was the debate between. That was the debate between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim to receive the Torah, the Malachim said, "We're not giving away the Torah. The Torah has to remain in Shemayim." So, what's the obvious question? Well, Moshe says, "Do you have?"
Father.
Do you have basar or b'chalav? The Torah is tayag mitzvos. Tayag mitzvos deal with physical matter. You do not have physical matter, so there are no tayag mitzvos in Shemayim. So the answer obviously is that for every physical mitzvah, there is a spiritual counterpart. There are concepts. Every mitzvah has spiritual concepts, and this world is just how Torah becomes a transformation of the spirituality into a davar gashmi. But it does not take away from the fact that Torah is still spiritual. For example, there are many mitzvahs which we do not observe. All the mitzvahs of Karbanos, the Nisar Seder Kodshim, Tahiris. So just because we don't have a Beis Tanit, we don't have an opportunity to bring Karbanos, we don't have all of the Inyanim of Tahara, doesn't mean that we can't study its laws. We study the laws of Kodshim, we study the laws of Tahiris, and in studying the Torah, there are very deep concepts of spirituality that are found there. And that's...
In this world, there were other worlds before this world. Were there tayag mitzvahs in those worlds?
Doesn't seem that it's not mash like that. I don't know for sure, but it's not mash like that. It's mash that the Torah was only given to this specific physical world. It says the Chazal that before Hashem created this world, Hashem made other worlds. There is such a medrash. Now, what that medrash means, we don't know. And they're probably conflicting midrashim as well. They disagree with that medrash. But let's take the approach that before Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world as we know it, He had other worlds. And those other worlds that Hashem give them tayag mitzvos, that Hashem give them His Torah, it's not mashmo.
There was no person.
Maybe there were life forms. So there were life forms, not as we know it, but they were life forms. Life forms have bechira. Do animals have free will? Do animals have free will? We don't know. Do malachim have free will? We don't know. What is this all about? Torah obviously involves the concept of free will. Emunah, a choice to do mitzvos. From Chazal, it's not mashma that in the worlds that existed before man, they had the Torah. We are unique, and that Hashem has only given us the Torah. This is the first time the Torah has made its appearance in the physical world. That's what's mashma. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what appears to be mashma and Chazal, even if it's true that there were worlds that did exist before us, maybe even here. Right? The Tiferes Yisrael says that all those worlds that existed before this world took place on Earth. And that's why there are dinosaurs. The deeper you dig, you'll come across a different time, a different world that existed before us. But seemingly, the dinosaurs buried deep down below us did not have tayag mitzvos. They did not wear tefillin. Right? Yeah.
Where does humanity fit in here? Is it the end of humanity before the
this is humanity. We are in humanity. What do you mean?
No. You're saying that everything is being destroyed. Each animal.
Not yet. We don't know. No one knows what's going to happen. How it's going to play out. No one knows how all this is going to play out. But the point he's making here is very clear. Anything that is physical is limited. It's limited as far as a beginning and an end. There are two different limitation points. Beginning and end. Anything that is spiritual is infinite. It's infinite in the beginning, infinite at the end. That's a contradiction. Infinite means by nature. There is no starting, there is no end. Therefore, Eve is giving advice. Pursue the Chochmah. Rashi says, what Chochmah? Chochmas HaTorah. That is infinite, and don't waste your time pursuing the Chochmah of the Olam HaGashmi, even if you succeed, which there is no guarantee. What's the purpose? The time will come when they will all be gone anyway. Lo, now here he goes on into much more, the very famous Medrash, very popular Medrash, the Chochmah Mi'ayin Timotzei. Where will you find Torah? Where will you find? The answer is, the answer lies in the question. Chochmah is found. The chochmah me'ayin timotzei. A person who makes himself into a nothing. A person who is an humble person, an ayin. What are you? in him you will find wisdom. A prerequisite, being that Chochmah, being that Chochmah is spiritual, that we have defined, it's infinite, it's extremely sensitive. It does not allow itself to be contained by a human being unless that human being possesses very specific features, criteria, and midos. And the most critical thing to be zochet to Chochmah, Chochmah Satori, is the midah of Ayin. Humility, Moshe Rabbeinu Naaron said, "V'nachnu ma." Humility. That is where Ve'ish Moshe, Anav Me'od Mikol Ha'Adam Asher Al Pnei Ha'Adama. It's not a coincidence.
You just said everything that exists doesn't exist. Is nichlas, so the only way you can have Torah is with Ayin.
Is going into that world. You have to go into the world of Ayin, of being an Anav, in order to acquire this wisdom. It's not a coincidence that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Noisin HaTorah. It's Torah's Moshe, and Moshe is Yish Moshe Anav Me'od Anav Me'od Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Ha'Adama. The two things go together. Next pasuk. Now these next pasuk, we go on to describe the beauty of Torah, the infinite nature of Torah. These are very popular. He's a very well-known psukim. Lo yada enosh erika. There is no frail human being that is able to know its erika, its value. Velo simotze b'eretz hachayim, and it's not found in the land of the living. It's not found, meaning it's not found on earth. Eretz hachayim means in the world of gashmi is not where you're going to find. It's going to find. I'll tell you just to measure before you go further. Ein tar niknes ela b'mi shenemis atzmai oleha. In order to merit success in Torah, you have to be moiser nefesh. You have to give up the good life. You have to give up your waking hours. Burn the midnight oil. Give up the pleasures of life. It requires fasting. It requires sacrifice. It's not found among the people that are be'eretz hachayim, are trying to live a good life. It's only found by those people who are mevater on the eretz hachayim. Ein Torah nikneis ela b'mi shenemis atzma yaleha. Those are the words of Chazal, a person that gives up his life for Torah. Yeah.
Usually eretz hachayim doesn't refer to olam.
So it's a drush. It's a drasha. It all depends on the context. I am panim l'tarid. It all depends on the context. Let's look at the pasuk you give on the mitzudos. It's not going to be found v'losi lo yeda ulezeh ein l'das l'hayach ma'aracha. Therefore, it's impossible to know and to evaluate its value. Ki kol chafetzim lo yishvu ba. There is no physical object in this world that can be used as a counterbalance, as a weight, as a measuring instrument to value Torah. So if you have gold, so you can measure gold relative to silver. You can value silver relative to gold. The Gemara, Hazav, Koines, HaKesef, HaKesef, Koines, Hazav. And the Gemara says things change. The Gemara talks about, do you buy gold with silver, or do you buy silver with gold? Each one can be used as a means of evaluating something else. But Torah has no equivalent. There is no such thing that we can use to measure the value of Torah. That's why it is lo yeda lezein ledasul hayrech maracha ki kol chafetzim lo yishuba. There's no such thing else in the world that has a value we can use to counterbalance, to counterweigh the Torah hoil v'hu davar hamiskayim la, because it's infinite and every single command that we know about in this world is finite. The lo simot say inim says leknoisa bechelik min aretz. It's not meant to be acquired bechelik min aretz asher sham bali hachayim v'hi hachelik hanigla min hamayim. You're not going to find it in this world. Torah is in Shemayim. It's spiritual. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel. There is no Yivlo Yismatzi Be'er Tzachayim B'mi Shemachaye Ella. This is the Chazal. Rashi here is getting very much into the Midrashim, to Mamar Chazal. B'mi Shemachaye, a person that wants to have a good life. Ella B'mi Shememis Atzma Yolecha B'yigia Uverei Avoin. Through hard work, effort, toil, and Ravon, hunger. Hunger, now what's the hunger? So the hunger is, either it can mean fasting, okay, on a very simple level, you have to fast, or it means there's going to be a hunger when Mashiach comes. Loi ro'ov for food, it's not going to be a thirst for water, but it's going to be a hunger for the thirst for the word of Hashem. You have to want. A person has to have a hunger for Torah. Yeah.
It also means, you know, depriving yourself of
physical benefit. Right, right.
So you really put on blinders and turn yourself off from.
It has many meanings, but it also it means we talk about hunger. Similar to thing is you have to deny yourself from the physical pleasures. You have to hunger, but it also means something very different. If you want to read a good book, right? Let's say I have no desire. I have absolutely no interest. I have no interest in reading this book. I'm only doing it because I have no choice. I need it for Parnassus. I have to write a book review. I have to read what it says. Okay, so I'll go, I'll read it, I'll understand it, I'll write a report, I'll analyze it, I'll write a book review, I'll do whatever I need to do. Is it possible for a person to have a full appreciation of the subject matter? Yes. Do I really care for the subject matter? Absolutely not. I have a million things I would rather be doing. I'm only doing this because I have no choice. Okay, I have no choice. I'm going to do it. I will accomplish what needs to be done. I will acquire an understanding of the subject matter. Here the Medrash on a much deeper level is telling something very deep. If you a person wants to understand a Daf Gemara, to really understand the depth of what Chazal mean, you can't just sit back and say, well, I have no choice, I'll read it, I'll understand it, and I'll come to an understanding. To grasp a full understanding, you really have to want. Your desire to understand must be sincere. It's magic. Torah knowledge is not something which is like other forms of knowledge. Siyata d'shmayin, understanding the delicate concepts of Torah, only comes through siyata d'shmayin yira shemayin, and comes through, as he says, and a person uveravon, a person that has a hunger. It's a sincere desire to understand what the Torah says. Okay, so we'll stop. We're out of time over here. We'll stop with Pasuk Yudalit. Now we do the kids Shulchan
Aruch. This guy was at an astronomer's convention. The guy speaking says the sun's going to die in 3 billion years. So he raises and he says, "Did you see 3 billion?" He said, "He says, I thought you said 3 million."
Very good.
What's infinite? You know, like billion, billion.
What difference does it make? Very good.
Oh, but where are they from?
From Australia, but a lot of Australians are from St.
Mary's. Mr. Weber?
No. He didn't call. Not that I know.
He promised we'd give it a call.
I think we should call it quits. Let's call it quits while we're ahead.
I'm so disappointed.
No, it's fine. It's really fine. I have a lot of beard experience.
I'm looking for something better.
Okay, okay. I have a lot of beard experience with these type of things, so I'm not upset.
No, but it's not the point. The point is that just out of respect.
No, it's...
To myself,
okay, that's the nature of the business. That's the nature of the business. Maybe he did call. You have his number. Maybe I didn't answer. I can always answer the phone.
I saw an interview with Rothka.
Rakefa, yeah.
I mentioned to him because he talks about Rabbi Yoyish.
Yeah.
And he says, he almost says, Yimach Shemayim, he says.
They quoted him and he got into a lot of trouble.
That's what he said, because not only doesn't he appreciate the Zionists for helping.
He told them not to go to Eretz Yisrael.
He told people, don't go to Fashtinkin America and don't go to Palestine. You know, the guys who escaped from Auschwitz, they were
I heard him, he speaks about it many times.
Rosenberg and Wexler, they came to South Africa. They were going to show people what they saw. And they went to him, and they told him the whole story. He says, you can go out into town, I'll put a chair on you. Uh-huh. And this is a test. I saw this. So they couldn't save. So he knew about it, and he didn't tell his people. He saved himself. He didn't save anybody else.
Sure.
So he...
You understand me? I had a guy told me he came to shul last week, Thursday. I look at him, I say, you're a Torah character, right? He says, yes. So I make a bang on the table. I said, this guy collecting isn't a Torah character. No.
I
had another time, a guy's friend, he's collecting for 12 kids. So I said, from Israel, I said, you support the army? He says, my kids are the army. So I went in the bag, I said, this person doesn't hold from Israel army, he holds only from his own army.
It's a 6'6" number.
No, he didn't call. He did not call. No. All right, let's, you know, forget about it. It's no good from the beginning.
No.
Forget about it. How are you, David? What's doing? You working now, or you're not yet? Okay. Yeah. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Baruch Hashem.